kids come tough. I mean, this is a resilient group of kids. Mm-hmm. They've always proved that.
You can see that just Duquesne, Pitt. I mean, we have great programs here in Pittsburgh, and it's nice to be part of one of the best.
I think it means that the college soccer scene here in Pittsburgh is going to get better and better every single year. It bodes well for the game and the college game here in Pittsburgh.
Welcome, everyone, to the Pittsburgh College Soccer Show, brought to you by the Pittsburgh Soccer Report and the Mongols Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Sparks, joined, as always, by the college soccer professor, John Krasinski. John, how's it going?
Oh, I'm great. How are you? I hope I didn't interrupt you at your opening monologue there.
No. You're fine. You're fine. It sounds like you've been out catching some games here and there.
Yeah, I've been out and about. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun to get back, sink my teeth back into the soccer, seeing as many soccer games, college games, as I have in the past month. It's been real fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a different scene. I haven't been out to any games yet, but I've been catching a lot of stuff online, following a lot of the stats. I got to get the family out there. But since the last time we talked a few weeks ago, really a lot has happened. We're not necessarily going to go team by team, sort of how as we did in the preseason primer. We're just going to sort of tackle the big things that have happened really in the past 2.5 weeks, and then take a look ahead at, you know, what's coming up over the next few weeks, just to get people ready and let them know what's on slate. The big thing, you know, to come out, I think it was earlier this week, that West Virginia women are now ranked number one in the nation.
Yeah, and it's really hard to ignore. When we were looking at this, you know, what to talk about for this show, there's not a bigger story even in our area. I know they're sort of an extension of Pittsburgh, but there's certainly a regional team of interest with some local players. So when, you know, the news came out, well, actually, when they played Duke last weekend, mm-hmm. they were playing, Duke was ranked number 5 at the time. They were ranked number 4. And when they came up with that big win, and then a couple other teams in front of them, I believe Stanford and a couple other teams in front of them lost, they catapulted right to number one for the first time in program history. So that's a pretty significant milestone.
Yeah, absolutely. Kudos to West Virginia. So they were number one in the topdrawersoccer.com poll. As you mentioned, they beat Duke 3-1 last Friday night. So it was a pretty decisive win. They're currently on a 6-game winning streak. They're 6-0-1, and they're 2-0-1 against top 10 teams. So, you know, good stuff on them.
You know, and that's my, you know, my thought on that is, I, you know, looking at them, having seen only bits and pieces of the Penn State game, which they was their only, you know, if you want to call it a blemish on their record, you know, but they played at Penn State and they drew. They are a team that, you know, they have to go out and schedule because at this point there's no other teams in the top 25 in the Big 12 in their conference. So the mentality is to get out there and schedule a top 10 teams early in the season, and it's been great for them. They've been able to pick up, you know, those couple wins, that tie against Penn State, and they played other good quality teams as well. So, you know, hats off to the WVU ladies.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't get any easier for them coming up. They host undefeated Princeton tomorrow. And then number 24, Georgetown on Sunday. And so Princeton actually have two players who have been involved with the U.S. Women's Youth National Team, Sophia Gulati and Courtney O'Brien. So
Sophia, the daughter, I wonder if she's related to the president of the United States Soccer Association, Suni Gulati.
Yeah, I didn't dig any deeper, but I saw the Gulati and I thought the same thing. So
I had him, you know, I had a nice conversation with him at Heinz Field last year when the U.S. women were playing at Heinz Field. And he really enjoyed his experience in Pittsburgh. So I just happened to bump into him that day. He was just hanging around in the press box during the game. So seemed like a nice guy, very much. I don't want to get into U.S. soccer discussion, but very much an open book in terms of some things that were going on with the men's team, even though he was here for a women's game. But it's interesting to see that Princeton and Ivy, would have two, U.S. Women's youth players in the system. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, in Princeton, so they're playing WVU, like I said, tomorrow. They're actually going to play Duquesne women's team this Sunday, so they're sort of making the tour here around the tri-state area. So we'll see how they do against, or we'll see how Duquesne's women's team does against them this weekend as well. I guess moving on, Pitt's men's team kicked off ACC play with a 2-0 loss to Louisville last Friday. You were there, John. Tell us a little bit about what you saw in terms of how the team played and what shook out on the field.
Yeah, Pitt begins ACC play. They've going into the season with a new coach, Jay Vidovich, and having a situation where they haven't won an ACC game in, the first 3 years they were in the ACC. We knew going into the season this was going to be a difficult grind for them playing in the ACC. They went the week before and had a decent weekend in Philly. I believe they did struggle a little bit with St. Joe's. I'm sorry, they beat St. Joe's. They finally got a nice win where they build some confidence, a 4-1 win on that Sunday game on Labor Day weekend to kind of head towards ACC play with some confidence. And it was needed. It was their first win, and they that was a good weekend. I believe, that's kind of what they needed. But then heading into Louisville to play a team that has been in and out of the top 25 for really the past 10 years or so, Louisville program has really gotten to a very high level. And then Louisville joining the ACC, they're just another team in the ACC now. That is going to be provide very tough competition. And as the game kicked off, Pitt came out. They had the better of play probably for the first 20 minutes or so. You could see they were knocking the ball around a little bit. They were trying to hide. They put a lot of high pressure on Louisville's back line and their goalkeeper. And that was impressive. In terms of the energy level, the effort early on. Of course, the game turned on one play. Well, it really did. The whole game didn't turn on one play, but Pitt's momentum kind of turned on one play. And unfortunately, it was a bad decision on the goalkeeper's part. Michael Outcault, he came out off the line play where Louisville had Vidovich had contested, thought it was an offside. That they were offside. It was close. Outcault came out to try to kind of slide and take the ball away from the player making a run up the line, but it was kind of a nifty little move, and they cut the ball back inside and hit two Pitt defenders and went in to go. It was an own goal, unfortunately, for Pitt. And at that point, you could see a little bit of the air come out of the wind out of the sails for Pitt. And to credit to Outcault, because he after the game was pretty much put it on him. He said he his plays that he works on, technique that he does all the time in practice, and he just didn't come up with the ball.
Yeah, and you actually talked to him after the game. We got some audio of that, so let's take a break here and let's see what he had to say.
Take us through two bang bang plays right there that maybe with a difference, maybe a split second here or there.
I mean, you go into training and practice situations, and that's just one of those situations. I got to make a play, and I did it, and I just got to move past it and bounce back and look to the next game and learn from it, but also don't stress on it and move on to the next game. We got a game Tuesday. We got to look forward to. We need to get 3 points there.
Talk about the communication with the back line and the midfield. It seemed like, especially for long stretches in the first half, they weren't getting much. You guys seem to be doing a good job.
Yeah, we were just talking about how we're really happy with our organization. Tom Moxon and Steph played a hell of a game tonight. Stayed real tight in the midfield and the back line, talked really well, and we stayed connected. And other than those two plays and maybe one or two other, we held them in front, and they didn't really get anything from us, which is good to see.
And heading into a game like this, an ACC game, coach has been there, done that. what were his words to you before the game, and even at halftime when you guys were down 1-0?
Down 1-0. I mean, we always just kind of talk about the first goal is not what beats you; it's the second goal, and then no matter what, we're just gonna play 100% and give it our all and be positive and never fold, and we're gonna play 90 minutes, and we just kept thinking we were gonna push and get one, and unfortunately we didn't, but our attitude just stayed the same as it was to getting in the game. We were going out there to win and give it our all.
So, yeah, I guess one of the big things he mentioned, and I mean, we should mention as well, he's a redshirt freshman, and we had talked about this team being a young team and sort of going through the process of taking their lumps and learning how to move through. And one of the things he talked about was, you know, putting these types of mistakes behind them and moving on. Like, they're going to happen, and the best you can do is try to make sure they don't happen again and go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was impressive, you know, in a lot of cases. Like, watching him, he's very tall and athletic. He's, you know, technically, I mean, at this level, you know, a lot of the players now are just at a very high level technically, and even in keepers, especially keepers in the United States, I think you could see that. And then it comes down to those intangibles. You're making a decision on a split decision on a quick play. And unfortunately, you know, after being down 1-0, they come out in the second half, and they were again kind of moving the ball around pretty well. They never really had substantial chances, but they were in the game. And then of course a foul. They get a ball in the box, which Outcault then comes out on and was beaten to the ball. The Louisville forward beats him to the ball and had an easy open goal to put it through. So that's their only two blemishes in a game against a pretty good ACC team that has beat ranked opponents this year. So my hat's off to Louisville, to Pitts for the effort. I think Vidovich even spoke about that after the game. He talked about that. And then, you know, in terms of their keeping the ball and just matching possession with a pretty good team, I had also had a chance to talk to Curran Page, one of the younger players, as you mentioned. He's a defender, was making a lot of runs up wide. Actually, he had a really, really nice ball in that set up one shot, and he had a pretty decent game. But he usually plays left back, but I think we have some audio of him talking a little bit about, you know, how they were able to stay in the game.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Coach talked a lot about just being able, you know, one of the things was to be able to compete, go out there. And where did you feel after, like before this game, going into this, and after first ACC game?
Before, I think we all felt good because we had a great week of training, and he's been harping on competing ever since he got here. So I think he prepared us well for it.
And obviously throughout much of the first half, you guys were pretty organized. It seemed like the midfield and the back line were pretty keeping it tight. Your shape was pretty good. One unfortunate goal. What's the mentality of the team at that point?
Yeah, it was unfortunate. Like, we're all disappointed. But I think after the first goal, we kept our heads up. And coach just said, if they score one, don't let them score another. So I think we finished the half out strong. And then coming out of the second half, I think we felt even better. Because we were able to knock the ball around, but another silly mistake happened, and that kind of put us down a little bit.
Yeah, talk about that, knocking the ball around a little bit. You guys had some decent possession, both in the first half and early going. You had a couple of decent shots on goal, and then in the second half, you were building some things up too.
Yeah, second half, I think we were in their half a lot more. Mm-hmm. I'd say the game definitely opened up, and it was more even. But, you know, they're a good team, so it's hard to break them down.
Was the goal to get Kevin up top and putting a lot of high pressure on their keeper? He made a block early on, and he did some good things.
Yeah, definitely the goal was to spring him in behind. His first half, whenever we play him, they'd always press him. So we talked about, like, springing him in behind their back line.
And finally, Louisville, you know, it's a pretty good team. This is your first taste of the ACC. You think this is... You really ready for this season at the ACC? Is this going to be the season where you guys kind of break through?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think we're just going to take the positives out of this game, and I think there were a lot we could take. So we're just going to go to Robert Morris with a heads up. Do our best. Thank you.
Thanks.
So, yeah, like you said, you know, the importance of good possession, keeping the ball in Louisville's half. And it sounds like, you know, from what you saw, they had a decent shot at that. I mean, they were keeping possession for certain stretches of the game. And it sounds like there's some growth there as well, which you want to see. So, yeah. And finally, we also have some audio. You had a chance to talk to Coach Vidovich about what he saw. So let's listen to that as well.
Coach, at the preseason, you talked about competing. That was such an important thing for you. Want to make sure the guys are ready to come out and compete. From the get-go, how did you feel about this team's performance in the first 10, 15 minutes?
First 10, 15 minutes, I thought we were there. You know, I thought we were with them. They were organized. The guys were fighting. And then I think a couple mistakes and our reactions were soft. I think that's probably a little bit of one of the things we're exposed by with Louisville's that perhaps our competitive spirit for sure it wasn't strong enough. I think they stayed organized and they didn't cave in, but as a group collectively we didn't compete well enough. The other side of it is guys like Stefan, geez, and Tommy Moxon, Hunter Gordon, Kevin Angulo, they're warriors, and other guys can gain some strength from their and conviction from their performance. A lot of potential, because those guys competed for 90 minutes and did a great job and got on with their business. And so it's there, and some of us, the rest of us, are going to have to find it.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kevin, and early in the match, he was coming up high. He was putting a lot of high pressure on their keeper and their back line. Was that the goal, to get him behind, maybe get an early goal?
Well, we'll take a goal anytime, anywhere. But for sure, we thought we could get spring and use him as a target to play off him, as well as to find him in the channels and see if he can get forward. I think we got some half chances with that, and obviously they did a good job of it. And I think Kevin, with a little more experience, a little more work, will do better with that. I think he'll find his way.
And those two goals, unfortunate. Your thoughts on that? I mean, they were bang-bang plays, and got inside them.
Yeah, well, first off, I mean, we'll start at the very end and come back the other way. Two mistakes for our goalkeeper. But once again, as I told him and the team, he's not going to make those again. He's just too quality of a goalkeeper. But he made mistakes on both of them that were very costly to us. And he knows it, and he's able to fix it. Then, our organization and the way we allowed the second goal to happen, where it was once again back a little soft there and get knocked off the ball without a ball to come and be recirculated off a restart. That just certainly showed like a lack of organization. We're able to put pressure on the ball, attract the men. And then the first goal was offsides. I mean, not saying the referee, it's just a tough call, but of course, seen on TV. So that was a mistake there, and then once again the ball is in our keeper's hand and he drops it. So it's like two bad plays. We messed up. I failed to execute.
And against a quality ACC opponent, the first taste for a lot of these players.
Mm-hmm.
What's the lesson learned?
I think there's multiple lessons, but once again, go back to your original question: was competitiveness. You have to compete every roll of the ball. You can't take a break and let that first goal happen. You can't let the second one. And with a minute left there, they got in behind us that because we stopped, stopped playing. We took plays off, and you can't do that at this level. And just, I think what they have to do is they have to find themselves if they can compete and they can play at this speed. That's a lot of work and training.
So it sounds like his biggest thing is, just being competitive at this level, expecting more from the players and making sure they're competitive from, minute one to minute 90. And just, you can't take breaks in the ACC. It's going to be a tough conference to win games in.
Yeah. And it's amazing. College coaches are just so detail oriented. I mean, it is not that pro coaches aren't, and having been around pro coaches now a lot too, it's just different. And I see that. I had a really interesting conversation with Dave Brandt last night after his press conference. And we talked about that. And he talked about Coach Vidovich as well. And I just got some fascinating insight from him about some of the things that they kind of have in common, but details and just don't, you know, level of concentration, you have to maintain that for 90 plus minutes. And that young players, that's a huge jump. Even young players that are coming from the youth system that we have here, I think that college coaches feel that they're not worried as much about the technical, even some of the tactical teaching. It's for them, it's maintaining a high level of play throughout the game, doing all the little things. So if you got cornered in a room with Jay Vidovich and Dave Brandt, you might get a little, you might be hearing about details and concentration and focus, and these are high energy guys, and so that would be make for an interesting conversation. But that's kind of how they are. It's just built that way. So after that game, Vidovich talking about, you know, again, you know, just the fact that you can't give up, you can't have soft mistakes, can't make those, you just can't give in to a good opponent. And then also, one thing I don't know if it was, he did mention it in the audio, was or at least when he talked to me, was the fact that you can't, you know, you got to have stronger possession, better shot opportunities. What did he say? It was another word for it. I think it wasn't soft shot opportunities, but it was something along those lines. Half chances. That was his exact words. We can't have half chances. So that quality in the final third, he's stressing to these players. And he talked about Kevin Angulo, who was their forward. He's really their center top forward, mm-hmm. and he talked about the importance that he's, you know, he gives them a lot of good things and good energy, but he still has to take his game to another level. And I think that's what he's striving for, and he's trying to get these young players to do that. The other thing I have to just say this too, I think at the end of the day, currently you're just looking at a talent gap, you know, and I think his teams are going to play hard, and they're going to do the things that he wants them to do. I think there's going to be that talent gap for this year for sure, and then going into the next couple of years, it's not going to. We've talked about this on the first show. I think it's going to take a while for Pitt to get to where they need to be, especially.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, and you know, you mentioned the little things. I've seen a number of interviews with, you know, U.S. men's national team players where they're asked how, you know, kids ask, how can we become like you? And they just stress how important just the little things are, going out and working every day on your first touch, and how, you know, what separates the pros from the amateurs is really just doing those small things consistently well. Like knowing you can rely on somebody to come in and they're always going to have a good first touch, or, you know, always knowing that 90% of their passes are going to be right on the money. So if you're a young player and you're trying to figure out how can I get to that next level, you know, maybe you're in high school and you're looking to go to college, focus on the little things and just being consistent and doing those little things well, because that's what separates amateurs from pros, is that just level of always being able to do those good things over and over and over again. And then you can build upon that and take your game to the next level from there.
So. Oh, sure. And this team, and again, I do want to go back to the talent issue, because, you know, Pitt is playing in the most difficult college conference in the country, bar none. That's a fact. And that's just an area where they are going to be a little short. They can do all the little things. The concentration level needs to be high. All those things, they'll be competitive. Hopefully they won't be – that competitive spirit won't be broken down too many times. Obviously, you know, we're talking about the next game. It's tomorrow night, Friday night at Chapel Hill against the number two team in the country, the North Carolina Tar Heels. And there'll be a number of games like that they're gonna play this year.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see how things shake out tomorrow night. You know, best of luck to Pitt men's team. One other game of note that they had since we last talked was they actually went up against Robert Morris, which is one of the other teams that we mentioned in the preseason primer. The Colonials, you know, to their credit, picked up a 2-0 win, even though Pitt outshot them 12-9. They just couldn't get any in. You know, it may have been more of those half chances that you mentioned. But
yeah.
But yeah, shout out to Jake Cooper, who buried a shot for the Colonials from about 30 yards out. And then Zach Sherman, he chipped Elkhalt to make it 2-0 in the 56th minute.
And nice. It just, you know, Robert Morris is sort of the type of team that they got off to an awful start, but we knew they were a little bit better than that. We just knew that. They've been a quality program for the most part, and a Northeast Conference quality program, but has put together some real, as we talked about on the last show, they put together some teams that have had some very talented players who have gone on to the higher level. But what we're anticipating was, you know, they, I think they really struggled chemistry-wise early in the year. But to have a win like this, I think, is a real boost for their program. And I think in terms of coming back to this talent level, the type of players that Pitt has right now, I think that's, this game was an indication of that, where they're, you know, they're a good mid-major team, or you know, they're on that level, on par in terms of the type of players that they have. And so for Robert Morris to put together, I'm sure they were at home, I'm sure that it was a game that, you know, they really wanted to seize, get that early lead, which they essentially did, you know, in the 34th minute. And that was huge for them, for their program, and to move forward on the year. They, you know, after starting 0-3, now to be 2-3, have this Pitt win under their belt, I think that was a big thing. And then also it was great to see after Brendan Alfieri, you know, Fox Chapel's, not Fox Chapel, Central Catholics, Brendan Alfieri, who lived in the Fox Chapel area, after he graduated and has been buying his time on the Riverhounds bench, and hopefully in the next two games he'll get a chance to make his official pro debut. But nice to see that another local kid come, and he's picked up the two wins in their Robert Morris's first two wins, getting two shutouts. So that was really good to see. Winter Fondi from Quaker Valley, I'm sorry, and for him to have a big game. And, you know, I don't know if you remember, but early in the year, their first game, he got a red card in the first 10 minutes of the game, and they ended up losing 4-0. So that's a little bit of redemption for Fondi. I think that was nice to see him come up with a big game against a local team that doesn't have a lot of local players. So there's some intrigue there. But yeah, Robert Morris with a couple local players and to pull out that win, that's a nice notch on their belt.
Yeah, absolutely. So Robert Morris have the bragging rights for now over Pitt. They're actually going to get a shot at Duquesne as well for some more local bragging rights. I believe they play next Friday. So that'll be another one that we'll definitely have to talk about the next time we go around here.
I am hoping to get out there for that game, and if I do, hopefully our next show will be full of a lot of, you know, we got a lot to share about that game and both of those teams on our next show.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll quickly mention the Pitt's women's team. They haven't had the best run of form as of late. They're 1-5 since we last talked, including a heartbreaking 2-1 loss to Kent State in double overtime on Sunday. They actually kick off ACC play tonight against Louisville. So when I say tonight, I mean Thursday night as we're recording this. The game will likely be over by the time everyone hears this show. So I've been trying to check on Twitter for updates and things like that. Haven't seen anything. You know, best of luck, ladies, if you're still playing. Good vibes out there. And we'll see how it all shakes out once this is all said.
I will have a recap of the game, that game, a brief recap, will be available on my website.
Awesome.
Pittsburgh Soccer Report.
Yeah, absolutely. So go check that out after listening to this and see how things shook out. I guess other news, Duquesne men's team, they hosted the Duquesne Invitational. So this is basically a little tournament where Wofford, Bucknell, and Canisius came out and played over at, I believe it's Rooney Field, that they have over there on Duquesne's campus. Duquesne won both of their games. They won 2-1 over Wofford, and they won 1-0 over Canisius when sophomore Austin Stout scored with basically 5 seconds remaining in overtime.
Yes. It just, they've been kind of like Cinderella team this year, Cardiac Kids this year, because they were down 2-0, 1-0 late in the Wofford game. They were down in the 85th minute and got 2 goals. And then when 1-0 with 5 seconds left in overtime, there was another local team, La Roche, did the same thing. There was about 15 seconds left in overtime. But to see that in 2 consecutive games, my goodness. So Chase Brooks, my hat's off to that, to him, for having his team, you know, just play to the last 95th minute, and just that shows a lot. That shows a lot. I was pretty impressed with those back-to-back wins.
Yeah, his comments, so head coach Chase Brooks, after the Canisius game, he said, "We've talked about it before, resiliency. That's the word I use with these guys. They're an extremely hard group of guys to beat, and that comes from the mentality that they bring out on the field. It was 90 minutes plus a little extra of hard work, and they didn't back down. I'm super proud of these guys." So
yeah, and that's, you know, it goes all the way back to what I was talking about with Vidovich and Dave Brandt, and just to, you know, when you get a team, everyone believes and they believe in each other and they're all backing each other up. You're out there and your legs are tired. You've probably played 2 games in 3 days, those type of things. You know, again, I've watched a lot of the La Roche games this year. They played 3 games in 5 days last week. Kids, I saw 3 or 4 kids that were cramping up and having some difficulty. So it's a benefit in college soccer also to have that depth, because you can pull from your bench. So those things do help, but still, at the end of the day, to see a Duquesne team pull through in those situations after a 90-minute, you know, you get into that 85th, 90-minute, a lot of times that's the difference, you know, it separates the boys from the men in these situations. And college players especially the younger college players, it's a new experience for them. Most of the time they've played in the younger ranks, it's an 80-minute game. Mm-hmm. In some cases. In some cases it's 90 when they're playing cup and stuff, but still it's a difference to go from, you know, and another huge difference, and I'm generalizing here, but is the physicality of the college game. So the play 90 minutes, and it's so physical, it's very intense. And, you know, again, just my hat's off to Duquesne. Early in the season, anytime you can do that, it's all about, it's such a confidence builder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. They are now 3-2 on the year, and they haven't lost at home. So they're holding it down at home. Yeah, congrats to the men's team. Keep it up.
Got to get to Rooney Field then. I guess the Robert Morris game will be at Rooney Field, and they still have two more. I think they play Cleveland State this week too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's a good segue. There's a lot of great action that's coming up here over the next few weeks. You know, basically for all of the teams that we talked about in the preseason primer, we want to make sure that we touch on them. We already said Pitt Men take on No. 2 North Carolina and Chapel Hill on Friday, so that'll be their second ACC game. We'll see how that shakes out. You know, hopefully we can see some of the mental mistakes being put behind us, maybe just build a little bit on the consistency and some of the things that we're seeing in the Louisville game. Maybe not necessarily expect a win from the No. 2 team in the nation, but
I mean, let's just put it out there. I mean, if they put together any kind of result, they tie or even a close loss, I think it would be a monumental achievement based on what we've seen from North Carolina early this year. Just they've been really strong. And just what we've seen from Pitt, and there's inconsistency, and just the fact that their level of players just not on the level of what a team like North Carolina will have. So they have to do everything that they can to stay organized, you know, and just hopefully, you know, tighten things up and just limit North Carolina's chances and hope for the best.
Absolutely. This is a game where, you know, walking away with a draw will be a victory. So,
oh my goodness. Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, so we'll see how that shakes out. As we mentioned, Pitt women are playing Louisville tonight and their first start of ACC play, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I did want to just mention real quickly, Duke, you know, Pitt's women, you know, like you said, they've kind of been on a little bit of a downward spiral. They did have to travel. They went to California and lost two games. They had to travel to Kansas. So some of those games, I mean, they played some good, really good competition. Their win is against Xavier team is pretty decent. So they went to Ohio State in the preseason and won. So I wouldn't completely write off Pitt's women's team. They've dealt with a lot of injuries early in the season too, and that's one of the things that's hurt them. So depth is an issue. They were a good team last year in the ACC. I mean, they had a turnaround type season. They really felt that they were going to get to that next level this year, but I think a couple of injuries have really hurt them. So, hopefully we next time we talk on this show, maybe they will have picked up some wins and some confidence, and some of their players will get a little bit more healthier.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on, Duquesne men, they're off this weekend, but as you mentioned, they'll be playing Cleveland State on Tuesday, and then that Robert Morris game is next Friday, which we said will be a great game to watch. John's going to try to get there. I'm going to see if I can get the kids out there. It's a great, you know, local rivalry, and we'll see if, Robert Morris can, I don't want to say pick up the double, but if they knock off both Pitt and Duquesne, watch out, man. There's some major bragging rights there.
Because you think about it, Robert Morris lost two MLS players in the last couple of years, a couple other, you know, professional guys that are playing in the USL. And so they're right there again this year, at least locally, as good as, you know, obviously better than Pitt at the moment, and could knock off a pretty, at least we've seen a resilient Duquesne team. Mm-hmm. So that should be a good game. Like, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be a lot of fun. That's next Friday. So for those of you looking for some action, head on out and check it out. Duquesne women will get Akron at home on Friday, and then the aforementioned Princeton on Sunday. They won't actually start conference play. John, you mentioned how some of them, you know, aren't starting conference play yet. They don't start conference play until September 29th, but after that, it's all Atlantic 10 from there on out for them. So they're trying to, you know, get some games in now and get ready for conference play, and we'll see how things shake out from there.
Right. Again, that's just a team. Remember last year, that's a team that pulled off, a nice run to the Atlantic 10 and winning the Atlantic 10 for the first time in their history. They've struggled a little bit in since, but, you know, again, I think we'll see what they're kind of made of now. Akron is always a tough team, even their women's side. And Princeton, of course, is undefeated. So they can come out of the weekend with some results. I think that will be a positive for the Duquesne ladies.
Yeah, so we'll see how things shake out this weekend. We mentioned, I believe as well, the Robert Morris men are actually going to play Lehigh on the road on Saturday. Then they come back to that Duquesne game next Friday. So that'll be obviously one to pay attention to, I'm sure. You know, John will have his write-ups. We'll be tweeting about it. But if you get a chance, get out and see the game, because it'll be a good, fun Friday night. And then Robert Morris's women play Howard tonight. Again, go ahead. As I say, they play Howard tonight, likely be over when this is released, and then Northern Kentucky on Sunday. So they won't be starting NEC play until September 30th, but then just like we mentioned before, it'll be all NEC after that.
Right, and all those non-conference games, you know, sometimes coaches can experiment a little bit more early in September. So when they get to conference, particularly the teams like Robert Morris and even Duquesne, they're not playing at the highest level. So they, you know, they're not in Division I, like Pitt in the ACC or those type of levels, Penn State, West Virginia. They can kind of experiment a little bit more, I think, and then get ready for conference schedule.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see what the conference schedules will bring. I think we'll see a lot more. We'll learn a lot more about those teams when they get into their conferences.
Yeah, I agree. So that's what's, you know, basically been going on in the past few weeks. That's what's coming up here in the next few weeks. We anticipate having another one of these shows in 2 weeks. So, you know, if there's a game that you're watching or, you want us to talk about, don't hesitate to let us know. You know, you can hit us up on Twitter either at Mongols or on Facebook at @Mongols. You can also hit up John on Twitter or head over to Pittsburgh Soccer Report, where John is covering all of the soccer game, all the college soccer games. He's also covering Hounds and everything that's going on, you know, basically related to Pittsburgh soccer. So, John, thanks again for, you know, doing all of that on your site.
Pleasure. And you know, obviously I kind of have my ear to the eyes to what's going on in the smaller college circles. So, you know, and just here and there on my site, I'll pop in, you know, some of the scores or some information about some of the local teams, the Carnegie Mellons, the Point Parks and La Roche's, those type of teams, which, you know, it's, things are really heating up now. Most of those teams are still in that non-conference time as well, but we'll start to see when things conference play starts to heat up.
Yeah, if you're at the games and you have pictures, or you know, you have interesting stories, or even if you have audio of, you know, what you thought of the games, send them to us. If you're on Twitter, use hashtag PGH Soccer. John and we're all tweeting stuff about hashtag PGH Soccer, just keeping that conversation amongst the community, growing that conversation. So using that for college, using that for high school, anything that's going on soccer related in Pittsburgh, hashtag PGH Soccer. And you'll be part of the conversation, and your stuff may end up on this show. So, yeah, I think that's it for this one. John, is there anything else you wanted to touch on here?
It's just hopefully I'll be able to get out and catch a few more games in the next few weeks, and looking forward to seeing what, you know, what conference play will bring for you know, for some of these teams. That's really what the next step. That, and of course the Robert Morris Duquesne game should be a lot of fun.
Yep, this is when things start to heat up. So thanks everybody for listening. Like we said, you know how to get at us. If you have any comments, questions, ideas, let us know. But until next time, thanks, John, and thanks everybody out there. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.